Somebody contacted me about a very interesting case last week. It was to do with somebody who told them that this person had been an aide at a wedding some years previously. And they realized years later that they'd been an aide at their first cousin's wedding. And of course, there's a psul of aide at Sheni B'Sheni, meaning that you can't testify, you can't be an aide for your first cousin. So the question is this Kiddushin, is it null and void, and does it need to be renewed? So it's obviously beyond my pay grade, this question, but nevertheless, I was able to give him some pointers so that he could take it further to establish exactly what needed to be done. So the most famous discussion of this is in a tshuva of the Chatam Sofer in Chelek Eben Ha'ezer Chelek Aleph Simon Kuf, where he discusses exactly this this case, and he addresses it from two perspectives. So the first question really is, the main question really is, that we've got a Gemara Masechet Makot right at the very beginning, which tells us that Nimsa Chad Mehem Pasul or Karov, Karov or Pasul, if one of the Aidim is found to be a relation or invalid for some other reason, then the Aidot is null and void. It's not a valid Aidot. So we don't have valid Aidot here. The question is, can somebody else who was present at the wedding, there are lots of frum Jews present at the wedding, can somebody else who was present join with the kosher aid, and together they will give Eidot? Or even if they couldn't join together with the kosher aid, maybe two other people who were present, could they give Eidot about it? So the Chatam Sofer address it also adds to the difficulty, the fact that the other people who are around who were kosher ate him, and says there were lots of rabbonim at this wedding, but the other people, none of them actually saw the ring go on the finger. They were there, and I don't know, eating at the reception or whatever. They were all standing around, but they weren't watching close up. So even though they didn't see the ring go on the finger directly, but they were aware of what was going on, and they saw the Chatan and Kala up there under the chuppah, and they saw the Kala come down holding the Chatan's hand or whatever with the ring on her finger. So there's a presumption that the Chatan put a ring on her finger. Is that good enough? So in the specific case that was brought to my attention, question is that you've got presumably the Rav HaMasadeh Kiddushin, you've got two Eidim, and you've got the Rav HaMasadeh Kiddushin there. Would he be able to join together with the valid witness that was there, so that they're two kosher Eidim? So the Chatam Sofer starts with the question of, do the Eidim really need to see absolutely the placing of the ring onto the finger? And he demonstrates primarily from Sugya Masechet Gittin that what we call Umdana is sufficient, meaning Umdana means that we've got an assumption about what happened, and that's sufficient. He looks at a Sugya in the first paragraph of Masechet Gittin, where there's a discussion about which Eidim make the get valid, whether it's the Eide Chatima or the Eide Masira, the Eidim that signed on the get, or the Eidim that saw the get being passed from the husband to the wife. And he comes to the conclusion that even if the Eidim didn't actually see the get being passed from the husband to the wife, but it was properly signed and now the wife has got it, it's regarded as clear that it went from the husband to the wife, so that's good enough. And he says, in actual fact, in all cases of Kiddushin, you only have an umdana, because our practice is that the Kala has her face covered, but they don't know for sure that this is Rochel or Batya or whoever it is standing under the chuppah. They think it is. That's the assumption made, but they can't testify that it definitely is. So the fact that you don't actually see the ring going onto the Kala's finger, he thinks is not so critical. What about the fact that we've now got kosher Eidim and non-kosher Eidim all mixed together, and maybe the kosher Eidim are invalid because of the presence of the non-kosher edim. So he makes a number of important points in this regard. His first point is that when the Chatan designates the witnesses, he's obviously got in mind that he wants kosher witnesses. So he's not designating the non-kosher witnesses there. The non-kosher witnesses just happen to be there, but they're not part of the pool of Edim. And even if the Masada Kiddushin has said to two people, okay, you're going to be the witnesses, or we're going to be the witnesses, that's obviously not what the Chatan had in mind, that somebody Pasul should be part of the Edim, because that's not good for getting married, and therefore the presence of somebody who's Pasul doesn't matter too much. That's his first observation. And his second observation is that in any event, this type of edut, which is what we call edei kiyum, these are edim to make to testify to make the wedding ceremony valid, as opposed to edim who are coming to Beit Din to give testimony about something in particular. This type of edut, it doesn't matter if there are edim psulim present. But so long as they're Eidim Kasherim present, then that's good enough. The presence of the Eidim Psulim doesn't invalidate. Only in a case where you've got to come and testify in Beit Din and say that this happened, and perhaps only in Dinei Nefashot even, in capital cases, that this is where it's needed. But in other cases, this din doesn't apply. So the Chatam Sofer is of the opinion that in such an instance, the Kiddushin is valid. It's obviously not the best way to do it, but there's no need for concern there. Tomorrow we'll see, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll see a tshuva of Rav Osher Weiss in Minchat Asher, where he disagrees with the Chatam Sofer, and we'll see that he's of the opinion that in actual fact the Kiddushin need to be reenacted. Ad Kan.